You're listening to Radio MD. She's a chiropractic holistic physician, best-selling author, international speaker, entrepreneur, and talk show host. She's Dr. Suzanne Bennett. It's time now for Wellness for Life Radio. Here's Dr. Suzanne.
In a 2011 report from the CDC, it stated that approximately 11% of children 4 to 17 years of age have been diagnosed with ADHD. ADHD, which is a condition that children are affected by, and this is what, 6.4 million children in the U.S.? That's quite a bit. Now, while most of the common therapy is to medicate these kids, our guest today has another answer. Dr. Ed Carlton of the Carlton Neurofeedback Center is here to talk about how neurofeedback may be the best answer to help your children feel better and improve their lives. Welcome, Dr. Ed.
Howdy.
Great. Thanks for being here on Wellness for Life. Now, what is neurofeedback and how is it different from biofeedback?
Actually, neurofeedback is a specialization of biofeedback. Both of them, as the name implies, use feedback from the body in order to create change either in the brain or in the body itself. Biofeedback would be using something such as heart rhythm, breathing, pulse rate, skin temperature. And you would use that. It's used, for example, in meditation techniques. People use it to help control blood pressure in some cases. So, but you would be using something you could measure, such as hand temperature or, you know, breathing, pulse, that kind of thing. Neurofeedback is a specialization of that. It uses what's called EEG-guided feedback. EEG is what it sounds like. It's an electroencephalogram. Okay, so the way it works is someone who comes to my office and wants to get examined for treatment, first we would do what's called a brain map, which is a special form of an electroencephalogram. It takes about 20 minutes, 30 minutes, depending on what we're doing. And it doesn't matter what office you go to, right? The stuff that I use, very similar to other certified providers in the country. So if people are listening to this and not in the D.C. area where I'm at, we'll go into where they can go find this later. But what happens is I come to my office and we put looks like a shower cap on it. And that with that information we get from there, we can actually measure how someone's brain is working in real time. Now, just like if you could go to the fitness center and get a fitness evaluation, and a professional can tell you which muscles are weak and which muscles are strong and how to improve that, with this information, I can actually design a training protocol to correct the brainwave imbalances. Is this clear so far?
Oh, gosh, it's absolutely clear.
Dr.
Ed, you know, you're a chiropractor, so how did you get involved with this neurofeedback?
Well, I myself have suffered with bipolar disorder my whole life. I was on medications for well over 20 years, and I actually found this at a professional symposium. I'm a chiropractor, right? So we're doing licensure. We do continuing education credits like most professionals do, as you know. And at one of the symposiums I was at, they happened to have, they were demonstrating one of these pieces of equipment. And that's where I found it. And obviously, I wanted to get off my medications because it didn't fit me. I had to use them in order to function. But I can honestly say it's been 23 months since I've taken a medication, and I don't miss it.
23 months? You've been offered medication? Is that what you're saying?
Yes, ma'am. After being
on
them for 22 years.
That's super impressive. Now, so what you're telling me is, you know, I know today we're going to be talking a bit about the attention deficit hyperactivity disorder, ADHD for children and even adults. But your story is profound because bipolar is a psychiatric condition that most people in mainstream, what they do only is medication.
That's correct.
So with the neurofeedback, you've been able to get off your meds for almost 2 years, and this might be what? How long of a therapy did you have to do to get this?
For me, it's 40 sessions to get off my medication. Now, I'll be upfront. Since then, I've probably taken an additional 40 sessions over the last 18 months. Because one of the neat things about neurofeedback training is just like if you're practicing something, there's no such thing as too much. So you keep getting better. But in order to get off the medications initially, I did 40 sessions over the course of 2 months. I did mine very intensely. You can do the training. Typically, training is done twice a week, and the training sessions are 30 minutes long. But
do
in my
trainings
case, I did it more intensely. What's that?
Does it at all hurt the individual? You mentioned about the shower cap. So does it hurt?
Not at all. And the shower cap is only used to measure the initial brainwave patterns. Once the measurement has been done. We have the brain map. We use it just exactly like, as I said, we have the information on which parts of the brain aren't working properly. So the neurofeedback training itself is much less, there's not as much equipment. It looks like a pair of ear clips. You can imagine that, like ladies wear the clip-on earrings, right? It looks like that. You put one on each ear, and then you put a sensor on a part of this, two sensors on the scalp. And depending on what part of the brain you're focusing on, that's where the sensor would go. Not invasive at all. Most people don't even notice you have it on after they start doing the training. So what happens when someone is in our office, once they're measured and we determine what we want to work on, for example, with respect to ADD, okay, attention deficit disorder, most people are familiar with the term. It is a big challenge for kids or adults. Focus, concentration, short-term working memory is a real issue with people who suffer with this. Well, as you point out, you can medicate it. Well, medications, most of them are amphetamines. The goal is to speed the brain up so it can focus better. It does work, but as we all know, they can have significant side effects. Well, with neurofeedback training, once I've done a MAP, usually what we'll find is higher than normal levels of delta brainwaves. Now, they got not to get too technical, but there are four basic brainwave types, delta, theta, alpha, and beta. Delta is the slowest, and it's more prevalent, for example, and this is a simplification, but it's an easy way to explain it. There are more of them when you're sleeping. So let's just say you have 0 to 10 is the available room in your brain. Well, when you're sleeping, 6.5 of that will be delta brainwaves, and the others would make up the other 3.5. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so what you're saying is that ADHD and ADD individuals, they are in delta.
Well, the ADD portion of it is typically related to a higher than normal level of delta when they're awake. Mm. So it does just exactly what you would think. If you know anyone with ADD, or a child, for example, they tend to not be in real time. Parents get frustrated because their kids don't listen to them. What they don't realize is the brain isn't working as efficiently as it could, so they're just not hearing them. It's not that necessarily they're not smart, because these kids and adults, typically intelligence is not a problem. The problem is the brain is literally, if you can imagine that, somewhat asleep when they're up and functioning. So there's not enough room for the proper beta functioning, which is more present when you're thinking or doing a math problem or memorizing something. But if there's too much delta, there's not enough room for the other part to work properly. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so what happens, once I get that measurement, someone's sitting in my office, all we would have is, as I said, two sensors on the scalp and ear clips on. Now, understand, we're not putting anything in. This needs to be made important, made clear. There's no input. We're basically measuring the brain, and we use that, and the feedback comes in the form of changed audio and visual signals. Now, when they're sitting in my office, we use equipment that allows them to watch a video. Now, the video can be their choosing. For example, my autistic kids watch Thomas the Train. It seems to be popular with them. It doesn't really matter what the medium is. The key is it's just something that the individual doing the training is actually interested in. So they're sitting in our room, very comfortable space, and they're watching a video. While they're doing that, their brain is doing just as it does when they're sitting in class or they're trying to do something. Their brain is speeding up or slowing down. But understand, while that's happening, I'm measuring it. So what happens is I've set the parameters in my equipment so that when the brain goes too far out of balance, the movie itself goes dim and the sound goes down. You mentioned, is it painful? That's not painful at all. All the individual notices the movie flickers while they're watching it. The neat thing about that is that it brings the brain back to focus.
Mm.
So this is kind of like riding a bike, okay? Most people know how to ride a bike. When you first get on it, you're wobbly. After a while, you get to the point where you don't fall over, and when you do it even more, then you can ride, chew gum, talk to your friends, look around, and you can stay on the bike quite comfortably. That your brain learns by repetition. It's called operant conditioning, and that's the principle behind neurofeedback training. It's a very natural process that the brain uses to learn anything. The neat thing about this is with the specialized equipment we have, we can actually retrain the brain or train the brain, depending on your point of view, to function more efficiently. So think about this for just – go ahead. Sorry.
Just to be clear, the technique here is once you diagnose the problem, which is the initial exam,
mm-hmm.
of
the map,
what
yes,
the, the mapping the brain, and then the exercise or the therapy is you watch a video and
correct.
And the feedback from how you're paying attention, because you're hooked up, it will either tell you when you're off track to refocus just by flickering of this screen. So it's
correct.
It's really to keep you start retraining you to get back your focus, get back your attention to what's and recognizing it. And that's pretty much it. That's what it sounds to me.
But in a nutshell, that's how it works, yes. From the outside, it looks very simple. The actual what's going on inside is quite fascinating. But for an individual doing training, all they know is they're sitting down, spending a session is a half an hour long, a nice, quiet, relaxing half an hour.
So let's talk about
then. The thing is, over time, the brain learns to stay inside the lines, and they feel better when they're not here as well.
Right. Let's talk then. You said it was on the outside, it looks really easy. On the inside, what's going on that the training is implementing?
Well, the equipment we use measures all four brain waves in real time while someone is sitting in the chair watching a video. So if you look at the screen, it's actually an EEG. It's live. I can sit and watch it while the person is training. I can tell you what's going on in their brain right then, at that instant. We're measuring the frontal lobe, mental lobe. We have an idea where everything is coming from. You can figure out the balance. You can figure out what's too fast or too slow. While the equipment is attached, you can do it in real time. So there's quite a bit of measurement going on, but it's painless for the individual. All they're doing is, as I said, watching a video. So for them, it's easy to do.
Well, it's a measurement, but to me, as you're saying, it will help with ADD and ADHD.
Absolutely.
So obviously, there's a therapy component to this. And so what is it about the 30 minutes that changes, and this must be permanently change, the
yes,
brain waves?
The way operant conditioning works and the way your brain learns, not just yours, everyone's brain, learns something new is repetition. So think about it this way. During a 30-minute session, your brain will, you know, do its different activities many times in a 30-minute session, right? Well, what happens is the feedback is provided literally hundreds of times during the course of a 30-minute session. If you actually counted, it may be up to 1,000 different corrections over the course of 30 minutes because the brain reacts instantly to the feedback. So over time, repetition, literally hundreds of times in a 30-minute session, the brain gradually learns to start staying within the limits that I've set on the machine itself. So, for example, if the delta brainwaves are too high, and when the person is watching the TV show and at first they're really focused, but then the delta brainwaves start creeping back up like it does for them, then the movie goes dim. Well, what that does is the brain over time recognizes that signal and the delta brainwaves start to diminish over the 30-minute period. So what happens is this is training. Okay, it's not an instant fix. Training takes time. So a session is 30 minutes long, and for someone to see change, as with myself, a normal number of sessions in an office would vary from anywhere from 20 sessions to 40, and if it's a significant or severe condition, it may take longer. But what you're actually doing is, over time, the brain itself learns to stay within the lines, even when it's not in a training setting. Just like riding a bike.
That's great. Right.
Does that make more sense?
Absolutely. So there's definitely neural patterning. It's going to keep it, and then the next time you do another exercise, it's going to continuously improve where you ended up at. Now, you must also, and I don't know this, but do you reevaluate the individual?
Yes.
Great. So
typically,
after 40 sessions, maybe?
Typically, I do reevaluations in my office after 20. Okay?
Just in case to change the therapy. To change the therapy?
Yes, ma'am. Although the thing about it is this, because it's in real time, I review all the sessions after they're done. And if the training is not progressing as I think, I'll change the training accordingly right then. We don't have to wait. I do a complete new map after 20 sessions because the change by that point is usually so dramatic that I can usually change the protocols and move forward from there. Just like, again, because your brain is learning, you start off at, let's say, ground zero, and after 20 sessions, you're much better. So we measure the brain, and we use the new, better pathways, and I build on those for the next series of trainings.
Got it. So it's not always, you know, the same. It all depends.
No, absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
And then this other thing you need to understand is every training session is different for each person. Although they may be watching, the same person could watch the same video, because the monitor, that's not what's teaching them. One person could watch Thomas the Train, the next person could watch Thomas the Train. Okay, fine, they're both small children. However, I may have the sensors in different parts of the scalp because I'm working on different things, and their protocols will be different because their brain maps were different. So although from the outside, if you were watching, all they seem to be doing is both watching a movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
However, because the equipment is measuring their brainwave output in real time on them, the sessions are all unique to each individual.
So very customized. So yes. Then the sessions are only 30 minutes once
Correct.
You start and you come back typically twice a week. How much are the sessions?
Sessions in my office are $100.
$100. So it's actually very reasonable because, you know, we are so many people. And I know I mentioned the amount of children, but let me tell you, adults have a lot of ADD, ADHD as well.
I see a lot of adult patients. I do. Uh-huh.
Right. What's the success rate for both children and adults?
Significant. There's a lot of studies online. And anybody listening can look on my site, CarltonNeurofeedbackCenter.com, and find research there. And then there's other places they could go that they could find that as well. One is the ISNR, International Society of Neurofeedback and Research. They have a lot of stuff on there as far as that goes. But the studies show that neurofeedback is the most effective means of treating ADD and ADHD symptoms around. Much more effective than medication.
That's amazing. What kind of machine? You mentioned that you had a specific type of machine.
Well, it's a computer, but
what's it called?
I use the ClearMind system is what I use. But there's probably 8 or 10 manufacturers of this equipment that most professionals will use. Some of them you're going to play video games on. I chose videos for mine because I have both young patients and I have some very old patients, and manual dexterity is a challenge. So I didn't want something that they couldn't get the proper feedback because their hands might have arthritis or something like that.
So, but all of the different forms of these neurofeedback computer systems, therapies, they all pretty much do the exact same thing, though.
Yes, they all use the operant conditioning as the underlying process in order to correct brain function. And they all, in order to qualify as neurofeedback, they all have to have sensors on the scalp and measure the brain in real time, because that's what provides the information to do the feedback properly.
Right. Does this help Alzheimer's?
Once Alzheimer's has been diagnosed, it's typically too late.
Dementia,
but I do
then?
Treat. Pardon?
Dementia, short-term memory loss.
Yeah, if you're looking at, that's one of the neat things about this. If you're concerned with cognitive decline, which everyone is, I imagine, this is an excellent way of forestalling that. Yes. I had a patient, 94 years old, who was brought in by her daughter, and she was starting to forget things significantly. So we provided her with 20 sessions, and in that period of time, over 10 weeks, her memory improved enough that she decided she did not have to move in with her daughter. Not that she didn't want to, but she was losing her independence and wasn't happy about that. But we were able to provide an improved brain function. As a result, she's still living on her own.
Wow, that's a great story. How about other types of conditions besides ADD and ADHD and memory loss?
Well, bipolar disorder responds to it.
Right.
I treat a lot of post-concussion symptoms. It's excellent for anxiety, panic attacks, depression. It was first used in 1972. When it first was used, was for epilepsy. Very successful at helping people with that as well. PTSD and those types of symptoms respond excellent to this type of training.
And that's still, again, 20 to 40 sessions.
It varies from one person to the next. Most of my patients have what you would consider to be garden variety type mental challenges, meaning they're ADHD or ADD, but they're functioning in the world. They're not hospitalized in a psychiatric hospital. It's a matter of degree. That's what I meant. If someone has Alzheimer's, the brain dysfunction is so much, there's not enough left to work with. Does that make sense?
Yeah, absolutely. Then
so
how
about
individuals?
I don't want to say it's a panacea for everything, because it's not. But if you catch the conditions in time and the person is capable of watching a video and understanding it and focusing their brain, great, great changes can be made.
How about, you mentioned about yourself that you were able to wean off your bipolar medication. Individuals who are on medicine, you work with the doctors so that possibility of weaning off their psychiatric medication as
it's
well.
It's a bit of a touchy subject because I don't prescribe the medication, so I don't tell the patients when to get off of them, but I do tell them to go back to their psychiatrists or their primary care providers, whoever's providing them the drugs in the first place, and talk with them. And to be quite honest, some doctors are really open to what I'm doing. Those are primarily the primary care folks really are happy because their goal is to get the patient better. Some psychiatrists, to be quite honest, are not happy because if I'm successful, they're going to lose a patient.
Mm.
I'm a perfect example. My psychiatrist fired me as a patient. When she found out I was doing it, she said, I don't agree with that. I'm like, okay, well then, I guess I'm not your patient any longer.
The truth is, you didn't need him anymore.
But
you know, that's it.
But she fired me before that happened.
Right, right.
And
well,
she
epilepsy,
wasn't happy with my choice.
Right. You know, you mentioned epilepsy. Now, epilepsy is a toughie because they have to. They do go on drugs.
Yes,
they do go
absolutely.
On drugs. But
I want you to understand what I'm purporting here is I'm not slamming all drugs. That's not it. I'm trying to offer an alternative to the choice.
That's right. And it sounds to me it's a safe alternative, Dr. Carlton. I mean,
yes,
it's,
there
you
are
know,
no side effects.
It's safe. That's great to hear that. How about for sleep disorders?
Neat stuff. Really works pretty well. Insomnia, chronic insomnia, very devastating to people's health, works superbly well. I'm a perfect example of that. I used to average, without medications, I'd sleep 2 to 3 hours at most at night. I did that for years. I had to take, I was on 20 milligrams of Ambien for years to try to get to sleep, and I'd still sleep an average of 4 to 5 hours a night. However, now I sleep an average of 6 to 6.5 or 7, and I don't have to take anything.
That's amazing. You know, I love sleeping, and I'm going to tell you, I'm constantly trying to have more sleep, and you're making me feel like I want to get some neurofeedback.
Well, I actually have patients who come in for executive functioning, right? I have right now 3 active patients who are men, all men in their 40s, who one owns his own company, and the other 2 are CEOs of local corporations, and they're here because they want to improve their function. They're 40-some-odd years old. They've had a lot of stress in their lives. They work hard. And the goal here is to improve their brain function so they could do a better job for their companies. And in one person's case, he was here because the stress and anxiety was starting to cause him challenges at home. And he wanted to be not have that happen. And it's helped all 3 of them. It's kind of neat to watch.
So, gosh, there's really an advantage in many, many different levels here.
It's kind of like some of the stuff you comment on. You can't eat too healthy, you know. Your brain can't be too healthy. So it can help for pretty much anything as long as the person is healthy enough to undertake the training itself.
Does insurance cover neurofeedback?
Unfortunately, no, they do not. However, for those people who have it, health savings accounts, flex savings accounts do. In our office, I offer financing for everyone, but not many offices do that I found because I refer people all over the country and I never found anybody that offers that.
Well, in your clinic, do you recommend nutrition supplements?
Yes.
At the same time?
Yes.
Can we talk about it a bit?
Depending on the person, it will determine how extensive that recommendation is. In some cases, for example, if you're dealing with somebody who eats really poorly, and I'll go into more of a diet, try to teach them, you know, I'll give them recommendations on how to modify their diet, decrease the sugar intake, decrease the carbs, improve the, you know, more complex carbohydrates, that kind of stuff. And then sometimes I make recommendations for supplements as well.
Well, let's talk a little bit, just, you know, we don't have much more time, but I'd like to know what supplements you recommend for what condition when you're doing the neurofeedback.
I already have a set set of protocols for that, because when we do the analysis, we actually, it comes out, and for example, one of my favorites that I use, it's a general use, is Pure Encapsulations NeuroMood. It's got all the things that you would want in it, your Bs, omegas, all the essential fatty acids, all of everything in there that you would want. I really like that as a general supplementation for pretty much everybody. But I don't use any specific ones. I mean, turmeric is an excellent one for memory. I recommend ginseng tea or that kind of stuff for keeping people calm. But I don't have any specific favorites that I use for in general.
Okay, so you're talking about the general brain food nutrients that we all need, like fish oils and vitamin B's, yeah, you're saying, and vitamin D. And
my goal with respect to that is try to keep people at least on a reasonable path.
Yes, yes. Well, gosh, this is great. Where can we find out more about you and your work?
Well, the website itself is www.carltonneurofeedbackcenter.com. And as you know, I wrote a book. It's called The Answer, and that is available on Amazon or Barnes & Noble for purchase, but you can also download it for free right off the website.
Excellent. It's called The Answer.
Yes, ma'am.
And you can get it on the website, Carlton Neurofeedback Center.com. Well, thanks so much for having and you coming on our show, Ed. Really appreciate it. Until next time, go out there and live your best life today, full of energy, enthusiasm, and ultimate health and wellness. This is Dr. Suzanne sharing natural strategies on the Wellness for Life show right here on Radio MD. Stay well.